Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All righty, hour number two. What's happening? Tinky and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. A little baseball with one of my all-time favorites in a moment, who's in studio. And Tinky and Tierney, of course, hanging out inside our Quicken Loans studio, national mortgage lender. Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, and mortgage confidently. As we get back in here on a Thursday, and we are joined by, you know, by the way, before I do, whenever the Red Sox are mentioned on the show, or whenever we have a Yankee in studio, Mr. BT's got to reach for his Yankee hat, make himself feel at home. Bernie Williams.
Much appreciated.
What up, Bernie? Respect.
Thank you. Thank you so
much.
It's going great, man. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah. How's the body feel? How the knees? How's the back?
You feel okay? You know what? It's there. They're there. Yeah. They're still there.
But you're the kind of guy that didn't, I mean, you retired from the sport, but you didn't retire. You're still doing a ton of stuff.
Oh, yeah. Very busy doing my post-baseball thing. Working musician,
yeah.
And a lot of charity endeavors, and supporting all my ex-teammates and things like that. It's been really, really busy.
How is that, by the way, being a working musician? Because you say that as if it's not like you just say, I want to be a musician and I get every gig I want. Like, being
a working
musician means something.
Getting both.
I'm very fortunate to sort of had a built-in fan base that came from the sport, and then to know me as an artist, which is really exciting. I had an opportunity to pick and choose the things that I want to do, the things that make sense, a lot of charity things, blending myself and my band to play in different venues for different causes, and just trying to make some money too. So it's been really exciting, and I'm living the dream, man.
I don't know if you guys would have been able to settle on the right type, the same genre, the same type of music here, but you had a lot of musicians, or at least pseudo musicians, on those early Yankees. O'Neill would bang the drums.
Yes.
David Wells could play the drums, right?
Yeah, he's a guitar collector, though. Can't really play that well, but he's always trying to learn. He's a great guitar collector, though.
I have them. I can't play them. I have them.
What was more natural? Because one thing about Bernie, and I don't know if national baseball fans, they hear the name Bernie Williams, they think switch hitter, pop, great speed in the outfield, 4 or 5 gold gloves, 5 All-Star games, a ton of championships, big clutch hits, star, superstar. But baseball wasn't necessarily natural to you. Because I remember when you were coming up, you had some moments where you struggled and Don Mattingly really took you under his wing. What is more easy for you, playing baseball or playing music?
That's a really interesting question. I think both of them have, a great deal of a learning curve. I think, the one thing that you can control it in music is, the amount of work that you put in. You usually get it out. It's sort of progressive. You get better. You get to be playing with a lot of, better people depending on the genre that you're playing. You get an opportunity to meet great people in jazz, rock, Latin music, even classical, metal, whatever the case may be. And it's always, uplifting. It's a great experience. And that's why you practice so much. Not because you want to be the best player ever, but because you want to have an opportunity to interact with all these great musicians at their level.
You want to jam with the greats.
Yeah, man. That's the thing. Baseball is a little bit different because there's a lot more variables that you cannot control. You can't control a pitcher making a pitch in the black on you, the umpire calling a pitch on you, whatever the case may be.
You can hit a line drive right at somebody.
That's right. You may put in the work, but not necessarily get what you work for.
I got you.
In a particular situation. But, usually you're playing for a good team, have God-given talent, work it to the max, and more times than not, you're going to be successful. You still got to put the work in.
Yeah. Now, you did both. You did both of these growing up, right? Music and who were your idols? Like, who did you want to be like in both of these?
You wanted
endeavors?
To be Menudo.
Dude, I was huge, man. Menudo was huge.
I know.
Back then.
I mean, I figured you'd get the reference.
You didn't want to be there.
I did not want to be there. Knowing what I know now about fame and popularity, it's definitely a triple-edged sword. I always talk about my father being my idol. And, you know, the center of my world, you know, as far as exposing me, you know, to music and sports and being there for me when I was a little kid, instilling a lot of great values, you know, as far as discipline and being committed, putting in the work. He was very special in that sense. So, I mean, I was, you know, obviously saw Reggie Jackson and then Thurman Munson, Willie Randolph, Bucky Dent, Ron Guidry, all those Gossage. Guys back when I was about, maybe about 9-10 years old.
Yeah.
That was at 77, 78 Yankees. I mean, got an opportunity to meet a whole bunch of them when I was playing with the team. A great honor and so exciting. But my dad has that place, man, that I will never be able to get him off of that. I mean, he was just huge.
That's a great answer. Bernie Williams with us here in studio, of course. Great Yankee, all-time great Yankee. I wonder what your answer is going to be with this here. There's a lot of rumblings, and they're starting to gain a little momentum here that the Yankees are going to really try to get Machado. Yeah. Now, as you can tell by the hat, I'm a big Yankee fan. I don't think they have to. Obviously, you want to get another arm to bolster the staff, although Sonny Gray finally pitched pretty well last night, very well. I don't think they necessarily need to do that. And you're unique to ask this because you came up with a bunch of young players, the core four, and that propelled the Yankees to multiple championships. Do you think that they should give up players? Forget about Torres. They're not giving up Torres. He's staying put. But like Andujar or Bird or even maybe a Sanchez. Like, would you give up young players for that guy, not knowing if he's going to resign? Because I wouldn't do that. What about you?
Well, that is an issue. Not knowing if he's going to resign, it is an issue. The other issue is to be able to play in New York, you need to be a special athlete. I mean, you know about that. You know, having to deal with not only playing on the field but all the distractions that come in with being a New York professional athlete. And a lot of people that come in with great pedigrees from other cities may have a little difficulty playing here in New York because of all of that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so far. Machado has been able to play in Baltimore with, obviously he's the man, but, they're, kind of like in a different.
They're terrible, you could say. Yeah.
They're in a different position.
Professional development.
My point is that once you come into New York, things are going to be a lot different. He might not be the guy that they will expect him to be the man, like Stanton or maybe Judge. Yeah. We have a lot of people in that lineup, which makes it, kind of like sort of questionable. Why would we want to add that guy?
Yeah.
But anytime you have an opportunity to add a once in a generation player like him, it you have to at least give yourself an opportunity to discuss it.
Yeah, you bring up something interesting because you talk about playing in New York, and we made a bunch of different excuses for Giancarlo Stanton at the beginning of this season and why he, was playing as poorly as he's figured it out. He's hitting 270 something, and he's way over 20 something home runs. Was that it? Was it the pressure or was it the cold? What was it with him?
I don't think it was the pressure. I think, but players like that, it doesn't matter how good you are. Once you come into a new team, you want to prove to everybody that you're worth whatever it is that they put their worth on. And I think you probably fall into the trap of maybe trying too hard, maybe trying to hit a home run every time you come to the bat, and to put that extra amount of pressure on you. Like you said, could be detrimental. Once he starts, he finds his stride and he starts getting comfortable in his situation, knowing that he doesn't necessarily need to be the guy, like he was before. Yeah. He can delegate.
Yeah,
he can say, I can take a base on ball because I know the guy behind me is going to might hit it out.
Mm-hmm.
So that takes a little bit off of that edge that you may have at the beginning, trying to be the guy and trying to hit a home run every time up.
Bernie, I want to get your thoughts on the shift here. And you're unique because you're a switch hitter. So you could dance around this, even though they didn't deploy the shift back in the day. Maybe like one or two guys, they would have, like a Rob Deere. I mean, a guy like hit like 190, would hit,
hitter.
What I mean?
Yeah.
But the shift was a ghost back in the day. Do you think, what are your philosophies on, maybe dropping down a bunt to try to dissuade teams from doing that? Do you need to deviate from your style to combat that, or do you just try to keep hitting the ball and hope that eventually it finds a hole? Because it's really crushing batting averages now.
I think it's basically something that has happened with the advent of this new way of baseball that we're, it's happening right now. Probably over the last 5 years, this advent of numbers, and I think numbers when I was playing was, something to be studied, but not really dwell upon it too much. It was much of an after-the-fact kind of thing that you study tendencies and things like that. I think numbers right now are influencing the way players go after.
Too much?
I think too much. Yeah, I think, you know, they're too concerned about their exit velocity, their launch angle, you know, all of those things. And thinking that maybe we can sacrifice a couple of strikeouts if I'm going to hit a home run at the end, you know, as opposed to being a good hitter from, you know, from your first at-bat in the game,
right,
trying to have a good at-bat, working the count, you know, get a single, get it maybe a double or, you know, something in the gap. I think more of the players now are emphasizing more in hitting the ball out or nothing.
No, it's obvious. You see it just by the way they swing. These guys are half falling down when they take some of these cuts that they take. But to piggyback on BT's question about the shift, do you think that the MLB should outlaw it, should you know, change it, you know, can't, you know, if you're on the left side of the infield, you can't go past second base, something like that to make it more.
Man, I don't think so. I think that's what makes the game so magical. I think in my estimation, the fact that you can actually make an adjustment to combat that.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're not willing to do it, you don't have to do it.
Yeah.
But if I was a player today and they have the shift on me, they probably wouldn't have the shift
they
on
wouldn't
me
have it
because
on you.
I would try to spray the ball everywhere.
Yeah.
And they will play it through my tendencies. And I think people are maybe not as willing to make adjustments as hitters. They'll just say, oh, if I hit it right at somebody in the shift, you know, that's fine. But I know that at some point I'm going to have an opportunity to hit the ball out, and that's what counts right now.
Yeah. Bernie, you're partnering with Minor League Baseball to take on a disease that was close to you because your father, who you mentioned earlier as your idol, idiopathic pulmonary fibrosis. Tell us about this campaign that you have going on with Breathless.
That is right. Idiopathic pulmonary fibrosis is the disease that took my dad's life away in 2001. And like I mentioned before, he was the man for me. He's like, you know, my biggest influence. And to honor his memory and tribute to the fact that he was so important in my life, I've been teaming up with Boehringer Ingelheim partnering with on this Breathless campaign. We have a website called Breathless IPF.
Mm-hmm. We'll tweet that out for you, by the way. We'll
thank you so much.
Absolutely.
And it's basically to raise awareness about this devastating disease. You know, we have currently about 132,000 people living with IPF in the United States. 50,000 people get diagnosed every year with IPF. And the numbers are not so big, but there's a reason for it because it's a devastating disease that is a terminal disease. You get about 3 to 5 years on average on the lifespan once you get diagnosed. And it's basically a scarring of your lung tissue. The idiopathic part of it means that there's no source. Nobody knows where it comes from. So we're trying to do the best we can to try to get some research and try to find a cure, you know, at least trying to find a source, you know, where this thing is coming from. But people just keep, you know, passing from the disease. And we are basically encouraging people to go out and get checked if they find themselves into this, you know, finding themselves suffering from some of these symptoms.
Yeah, what are some of the symptoms?
They're so similar to other ailments like COPD or asthma. Do you have a persistent dry cough?
Yep.
Do you have, your chest, you know, hurts?
Mm-hmm.
You are finding yourself, you know, being fatigued, unusually fatigued on things that you normally would take for granted, like walking a flight of stairs, you know, going a hike or something like that. You have to go out there, go to your physician, that he will refer you to a lung specialist, and so you can rule out the possibility of having IPF because you do not want to have this.
Does it? I think the answer is no. But anything to do with smoking at all?
Well, I would not be able to point out certain factors. Obviously, smoking doesn't help.
Sure,
on any level.
Yep.
But they're trying to find out sources and, where does this come from? There's other fibrosis that they may, you know, find sources, you know, knowing that this is caused by this.
Yeah.
But the idiopathic means that there's no known source.
Yeah.
And, that makes it really difficult to deal, obviously. It has been proven that, you know, if you get diagnosed early with the condition, their treatments that would enhance the quality of your life,
Bernie,
at this point.
Bernie, not to get too personal, did you know that your father had this disease, or was it something that...
We did not know. We did not know. And my father actually spent about 5 years from system and doctors to doctors trying to figure out what he had. And then finally, a doctor came with the right diagnosis. What you have is this, idiopathic pulmonary fibrosis. And we said, okay, so how do you treat it? Well, we're not going to be able to do anything more for this
harsh.
Because
that's
he's gonna pass from this.
Oh,
and it was just a blow that it was just very profoundly, you know, affecting, devastating for our family. Watching a person that was like a Superman for us go down and debilitating himself, you know, to the point that he was bedridden, you know, probably the last 3 or 4 months. Your, you know, lungs, your capability, your ability to breathe, you know, diminishing little by little, day by day, up to the point that you can't breathe anymore and you had to be put in a machine, you know, to breathe. And it's a really hard way to go.
Yeah.
So we're, you know, definitely honoring his memory with what I'm doing right now and encouraging people to, you know, get tested and get treated if you have experiencing some of these symptoms.
Well, that's amazing, Bernie.
I've never heard anybody say, seriously, I've never heard anybody say a bad word about Bernie Williams. So when we tweet this out, I'm pretty sure you get a lot of support to help out with this and get some more money.
Well, we certainly appreciate it.
We'll get it out for you, no doubt. One more baseball question for you, Bernie. Of course, great Yankee. You played for Torrey. You saw Girardi. Boone have the chops to manage in New York in October?
Other than leaving CeCe in for the sixth inning a couple of games ago. We said it. We left the show. Take him out.
He should have pulled him in Canada the other day. But
other than that.
What's your early impressions of Boone?
I think he has a great pedigree, man. He's like, what, third generation? Major
I think he's fourth.
Yeah. Fourth generation.
Bob is great. I think he's fourth. He's at least third. He might be fourth.
Hey, you know what? He has been around the game through his whole life. You know, obviously there's going to be a learning curve, you know, and, you know, the same thing that goes for anybody with that kind of pedigree coming into as a player, it goes for the same thing, the same way, you know, coming as a manager, you're going to be second guessed forever, you know, if something goes wrong. But I think the experience that he had playing in New York and having his heroic moment as a Yankee.
Yeah.
Tim Wakefield, thanks for that little meatball. Appreciate it.
Definitely, man, that will account for something. And I think, you know, for the most part, his main job is going to be handling the personalities, handling the, you know, the players, trying to get them to buy into his philosophy of winning, playing hard for him, and you're managing all the playing time. You know, the more stars that you have in your team, the more difficult it is to try to find, you know, them to fulfill a certain role and trying to get them to accept that role. To me, that's going to be his biggest challenge, but he has the respect of his players, and I think that he's going to do a good job.
Yeah.
It's always great to see.
Got another star coming, right, Manny?
Yeah, another one. Another one to the mix when Manny comes. Touch the hat here, Byrne. Let's get us another championship, brother.
Yeah.
There you go.
There you go. That wasn't in view of the camera. Hold that up for everybody, Bernie.
Yeah, be sure to check out this website, too, as well. We talked about with Bernie and his father. www.breathlessipf.com. That's for idiopathic pulmonary fibrosis. I appreciate you sharing that story, Bernie.
Thank you so much.
It's sometimes tough to get deep with your parents. So thank you for coming on and talking about that.
Number 51, Bernie Williams. Number 51.
Love you, pal.
Leave you on that. Bernie Williams.
Thank you.
Got a quick timeout. Something on the home run derby, but not what you think. You guys will like this coming up next here on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. All righty, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 855-212-4227. Brought to you by Geico. Great news. Quick way to save money. Switch to Geico. Just go to geico.com and in 15 minutes save 15% or more on car insurance. Good stuff with Bernie Williams. Yeah, it's funny, too, because I think a lot of national baseball fans, it's easy to look at Bernie as a polished, finished product when he got there and probably think it came easy to him.
Yeah, that's what we remember.
It didn't.
Yeah.
It didn't, because I remember going to, you know, Yankee Stadium, I mean, a couple times a year, and my dad would get me the media guide, and in the back, they might still have this, a section that would say, on the way up.
Uh-huh.
And it was the next crop of minor leaguers, and I would really dig into it deeply, and Bernie was on my radar. I think Bernie signed when he was 16 out of Puerto Rico. I believe he was 16. I'm almost positive.
I mean, maybe, because he felt like he played forever. So he must have gotten to the league when he was, 21?
Came up 20? In 91, played 91 through 2006. But, see, he ran like a gazelle. He was a switch hitter with pop from both sides of the plate, and he was graceful in center field. But it didn't come easy. And it's funny, there was a point where, it seems like a contradiction, but you'd have to really understand, like, he wasn't a great base stealer because he didn't have pure jumps. Like, he had to really work where he got.
You know, it was like he didn't have, like, those short, fast twitch muscles. that make you accelerate quickly.
He was more of a loper, long strides.
So here's the thing. So people always would compare him, like, Brandon's big, but is he fast? Brandon Jacobs, talking about Brandon Jacobs now, football.
Talk about me for a second.
No, Brandon Jacobs was actually faster than me over distance, right?
Yeah.
But if you gave me 10, 15 yards, I'd have him. But over
pretty easily,
over
too, right?
Over time, he'd catch me. That's how Bernie was.
Bernie first to home?
Yeah.
Bernie, or like a first to third on a single to right field? Terrific, once he got going.
Exactly.
So last night, listen, I've said this a few times on the show. The home run derby to me, it's there. If you want to watch it, watch it. If not, not. I'm not really here to denigrate it.
It's rough this year, though.
I know. It's although it is representative of the hitters who deserve it this year in large part.
Agreed.
But they're not household names, and it is what it is. But, yeah, I got you. It lacks, it's not like it's Aaron Judge and Bryce Harper and Stanton and I don't know whomever, like J.D. Martinez.
Thank goodness that Bryce Harper is partaking.
Oh, if he didn't show up at his own home yard, that's unforgivable. I believe, I've never been one who says that an NBA player should, like LeBron when he was younger, you got to go in the dunk contest. Yep. No, if you don't want to do it, don't do it.
Yeah.
But the home run derby in your own backyard, I believe there's a great responsibility to do it. I'm happy that Harper's going to.
Yeah, there's only one, by the way, in the AL. That would be Bregman, who is way back, way back in the AL rankings. I think he's 13th in the AL.
Yeah. He's probably a better fielder than he is a home run hitter at this point. Right? He's a great third baseman.
But he's probably like, whatever. You know what?
Yeah, yeah. But I posted this on my Twitter account earlier today, and this is fun. We can go a lot of different ways here. And again, as I'm not here to bash the home run derby, but to me, it's just overly repetitive. You know, when you throw a 68-mile-per-hour meatball with an L screen.
Is it even that fast?
Around there.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like it's 40, but I hear you. Probably in the vicinity of, I'd say, anywhere between 60 and 70. You know, and anybody, high school kids can hit the warning track with a metal bat. I mean, you don't think pros are going to hit a meatball? Of course they are. So to me, it's just overly redundant. But still, and I put this on Twitter, and we got some great answers, or at least I did on my account. If you could take any two hitters from any generation, all right, and you can pit them in the final stage of the final round of the home run derby in any venue, past or present, which direction would you go? Mm. Teague, we got a few. We got Sadahara Oh from Japan. I love when people really think.
Yeah.
We got Josh Gibson from the Negro Leagues. People, now the records aren't quite as thorough from the Negro Leagues, so a lot of it's kind of hearsay.
Yeah.
And maybe some embellishment, but he's thought to have had 800 home runs, Josh Gibson. You know, who wouldn't want to see a Josh Gibson versus a Babe Ruth? Me, the best thing is I want to see an old generation versus now, because I want to see, or somewhat
how it translates.
So I went Ruth and Griffey. Ruth and the kid. That's what I went.
Is he the most prolific, though, of your generation?
It doesn't have to be prolific. It's just what would be aesthetically, to me, because Griffey has the prettiest swing of all time, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And Babe Ruth, even though he's not the all-time home run hitter in terms of the number, to me, he is the, he is the preeminent power hitter in the history of baseball.
Yeah. I'd want Babe Ruth as well. Out in San Francisco at the venue. See him launch him
splash McCovey's Cove?
Splash him in the cove.
Yeah? That would be pretty good.
And I'd probably go Hank.
You go Hank?
Yeah, I'd go Hank. Even though it's probably the more boring one, but they're the ones that people consider. One and two. Even though they're not, they're the ones you consider one and two.
What about guys today?
If I had to go today, I want Judge, because of what Judge did last year was so damn impressive. I mean, I've watched a lot. Not I don't watch them all the time, but I've watched, and at least if I haven't watched it, I will watch the highlights.
Of the home run derby.
Of the home run derby.
Yeah, no, so do I.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I've seen them since I was 10 years old.
Yeah.
1984 or something.
85. I think yesterday was the anniversary of Griffey hitting the warehouse in Camden.
Yeah.
I saw that on Twitter.
Yeah, I did as well.
The only one to ever do it.
Yep.
Hit the warehouse.
So I've seen them. The display that Aaron Judge put on last year was unbelievable, because it was almost like it was easy.
Like a video game.
It was like he was at a high school, not even. It was like he was at a little league ballpark.
Mm-hmm.
Just, all right, you want one out? Where do you want it?
I know.
Over there?
All right, I know.
Got it. How about here? All right, you got that one too.
Go over here.
All right, you want to go center, dead center, straight up? All right, here we go. It was amazing.
His power is frightening.
It was easy.
Josh Hamilton was like that with the Yankees and Yankee Stadium too.
That's true.
That would have been, was that 08 or was that 09? Oh, it was 08. Yeah, it was 08. Last year at the old stadium, 08. So, of course, I ask Ack this before a couple of hours before the show. Damn. And Ack, like always, he's got it complicated. I said, Ack, give me two guys. He's like, I can't decide. I've got three. You've had 2 hours now to decide. Were you able to whittle it down from three to two?
Did you eliminate one? And who was it?
Come on.
I eliminated my favorite.
Who?
Willie Mays.
Why'd you do that?
Because Aaron's so good. And the thing about, you know, almost if you look at their swings, it's pretty similar. But the thing I always looked, if you look at pictures of Hank Aaron, he always ends up the same way.
Yeah.
And he's got
great balance.
Yeah, he's got one hand up and the back foot lifted. It's really amazing the way these guys
hit
back in
the day. That's funny because that's how I hit.
Yeah.
My back foot was always lifted.
But when you had that little looping double at CC's All-Star game the other night?
Yeah, that too.
Your back foot was off the ground?
I actually hit that thing hard.
I know
it
you
didn't
did.
Go anywhere because it was so stupid soft softball.
It was like a hacky sack.
Yeah.
It was like a big hacky sack.
I crushed that thing. What the hell? It barely got out of the infield.
As a loper to short center
field. But when I was in Little League, I would always – I think because I wanted to run.
You probably wanted to run. You wanted to get out of the shoe.
As soon as I made contact, my foot was like driving back.
That's funny.
And I was just sprinting. And that's what happened in CeCe's thing.
Your track instincts taking over.
Exactly.
Oh, wow.
Go run.
So, Ack, who are you two guys here?
Mays and Aaron. Ruth and Aaron.
Ruth and Aaron.
Ruth and Aaron. Okay. And one of the cool venues.
Not Willie Mays Hayes, by the way.
Willie Mays Hayes. You may run like Hayes, but you hit like bleep. That guy was a great character.
every one of them was a great character.
I told you, every time it comes up, it's a timeless movie. It's phenomenal.
What was the product?
I love when he urinates on his contract. Dorn's like, I don't have to get in front of a ground ball. He just unzips his pants to, you know.
Dorn, get your butt down.
What was the product that Willie Mays Hayes endorsed?
Was it American Express?
Yes, right. He slides in a home. Don't leave home without it.
Don't steal home without it.
don't steal home.
He's like the Stokes slide.
Yeah.
Don't steal home without it.
Wasn't it like his whole team around home plate too or something?
It's pretty cool.
It was like the team picture, but I remember correct.
Yes, they actually did do that. That's true. And, you know, venue-wise, we got a bunch of good tweets, and I'd love to get some more on Tiki and Tierney. I'm going Ruth and Griffey. Teek, reset yours again.
I said Ruth and Hank Aaron out in San Francisco.
And you've got Ruth...
And Aaron,
but where?
I got to pick a venue. Interesting.
I'll tell you one of the ones that was interesting that I got
you
early.
You need to go to the one you've never been to.
Which one?
Wrigley, man. Come on.
There, the Wrigley.
Oh, that's great.
No, how about the Polo Grounds? Because like center field is like 470 feet.
You know what? If I could have one, I'd like it to be at the old Yankee Stadium. Hmm.
The first one. It'd be pretty good. All right.
Yeah.
See if you guys can put your thinking caps on and come up with some good stuff. We have Football at the 40s coming up next. Axe Update is right now. Here's Rich.
Want a podcast to listen to? How about you go check out mine, Tiki's Barbershop. It's sponsored by Geico. Go to iTunes, Google Play, or Spotify to download it. And great news. There's a quick way you could save money as well. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15%. Or more, like 20 or 30, on car insurance.
Nice. What about 40%? Can I get half off? Is that pushing?
I'd be over promising.
I got you.
And under delivering.
I hear you. That's a lot. They wouldn't make money. They wouldn't be advertising on shows like this if they were giving out 50% off. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. We got Football at the 40s coming up in a sec. I want to throw something at you, which I know you will appreciate, and I know that you don't know, okay, about baseball.
I know. I don't.
Okay. Take it easy there, buddy. Tap him. Tap him.
I was about to get real cocky.
Tap him. Tap him. Tap days. All right, so during the break, Ack and I geeked out a little bit.
Okay.
It's very rare that I get a chance to really go full throttle nerd
with
baseball.
Did I miss something interesting when I went to go get my coffee?
You did. Well, that's what I'm going to bring to you now, man.
All right, go ahead.
So we continued the conversation about home runs and the Derby, and then it extended into Hank Aaron and how, you know, Ack like me, Ack's a couple of years older, so I guess me like Ack, didn't realize, you know, how great an all-around player Hank Aaron was until we were probably, you know, 13, 14 years old, because you just heard his name as a home run hitter.
Yeah.
But RBIs, 3,000 hits. He stole some bases, had a 30-30 season. So he's just got, you know, digging deep into the annals of baseball. And then I brought up Ted Williams. And then we started talking about Ted Williams, how he missed time for World War II as a pilot. All right? Now, Ted Williams, and I know there's a lot of people who know this, but I also know there's a lot of people who don't. Mm-hmm. Just let this register for a second. All right? Ted Williams comes up. His first year, he's fourth in the MVP voting, right? Has a great year. 145 RBIs as a 20-year-old kid.
Wow.
Yeah, as a 20 years old.
145.
Yes, and he's 20, right? Led the league in total bases, led the league in RBIs. He hit 327. He's 20. His next 3 years, right?
Okay.
All-star, all-star, all-star. Leads the league in runs. Two out of three times leads the league in home runs. Two out of three times batting average OPS. He hits .406. That's the year he hit .406.
How many home runs was he hitting in those years?
37 and 38.
Oh, so it's not an insignificant number
either. No. Wow. He was at Fenway, same ballpark it is now.
Yep.
Pesky pole, and I'm sure banged a few over the monster out there in left field, 38 feet high. And then, so that's through 1942. So he's 23 years of age, and he's already led the league in 3, 6, 9, 12, 15, 18, 21, 27 offensive categories.
What?
All right? Then he goes to World War II.
Okay.
All right? And he's a pilot, and he misses the 1943, 1944, 1945 season. Now, you're a former athlete.
How old was he?
I was just going to get to that. Yeah. You're a former athlete and a great player, former great player. Imagine missing, I know football is a lot different than baseball, age 24, age 25, and age 26.
I don't have a career.
Imagine that.
I don't have a career.
He's at war.
I don't come back with a career.
You don't. You know, he comes back, mm-hmm. and you know what he hits?
What's that?
He hits 342. He's a little rusty.
Oh, that's it?
Yeah. Just think about that in the context of, and I don't mean about anything politically, like with the flag or mm-hmm. I don't mean that. But think about how some athletes complain about a hamstring pull or don't plow through injury or complain about
or let excuses be made for them Correct. Or why they weren't successful or great or if they had potential and didn't live up to it.
Correct. More accurately. 3 years, World War II. And he's
prime.
Still considered the greatest hitter, and nobody argues that.
Wow.
Maybe you get some Tony Gwynn supporters, which I understand,
but the answer is Ted Williams.
I'm
peeking over at your computer.
A lot of bold, right?
There's a lot of bold.
Yeah.
Bold
I don't even need the glasses to see that.
Bold means lead the league.
Yep. How about that?
That's
Ted,
awesome.
Ted Williams. All right, football at the 40s. Let's go.
40-yard kick right hash mark.
40 yards on the return.
A 40-yard touchdown.
40 yards.
You love football. Love football, so we give you football every day. It's Football at the 40 with Tiki and Tierney on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, Tiki, here we go. So what does this mean exactly? Well, let's ponder here. LeSean McCoy hires a prominent defense attorney. Let's see. According to WSB-TV, McCoy's hired prominent Atlanta defense attorney Don Samuel during a police investigation. This is the home invasion and assault of McCoy's former girlfriend, the same lawyer who represented Ray Lewis. back with the Atlanta incident at the Super Bowl. So, is it unfair or irresponsible to extract from that he's really worried?
Yeah, well, he's definitely worried. You wouldn't hire a lawyer like this, but we got to be careful not to throw guilt by association, meaning association of who he hired as his lawyer, who was great, obviously. Remember, Ray Lewis got off on that charge.
Yep. Just obstruction.
Yep. Exactly. So there's so much that's going to continue to come out about this. And I think the most recent one is that the police were called to the house at least three times before this incident. So there's a history of something going on here. You read, all the details and you start reading people's opinions about this. The NFL is going to act. They're already acting. They're talking to his ex-girlfriend's lawyers. They're talking to now Shady's lawyer, and I'm sure they'll have conversations with him. The latest that we've started to speculate about is when do they take his phone? When do they say, Shady, we need your electronic records of communication with whomever regarding this time frame around this incident? We know the precedent is set for that because Tom Brady was asked to give his phone. He did not. He was suspended 4 games. It was held up. So it's only going to get deeper and deeper.
I would imagine. And again, you're right. You want to be responsible. You want to be certainly fair to Shady if he's not involved in this. And there's a chance he's not. No matter how it seems to be shifting in against him, certainly public sentiment is against McCoy, I think, for the most part. Right now, a lot of people believe he has some culpability here. We'll see. But Bills open camp in 2 weeks here. From a football point of view, you have to think he's going to be on the exempt list here. And he's not going to be out there the first day of camp.
Right.
There's no way, right?
What BT's talking about is if you are under investigation and it has not come to a conclusion to the NFL satisfaction, they will put you on the commissioner's exempt list, which means you don't practice, you don't play.
It's
at his discretion.
Yep.
He can do whatever he wants.
Okay. All right, how about this? So the Cardinals GM, Steve Keim, the officer who spoke with Keim when he was pulled over, this goes back to July 4th suspicion of DUI, actually, and this is an important correction here, misunderstood kind. This from the Chandler Police Department. They're now saying, the police law enforcement agents, officer saying that Kime did not misrepresent himself to cops before the arrest.
Yeah. So the original story was that Steve Kime had said he was at a lower position, or I forget what it was.
It was the director of security, I believe.
Yeah, director That's of security, which a lot of people assumed he was saying he was a cop, which, you know, is obviously a misdemeanor. I don't think it's a heavy charge, but it is a misdemeanor to falsely identify yourself as law enforcement. That has been recanted because I don't know how drunk he was. I'm going to say maybe
we've never gotten the number.
Never got the number. Maybe it was slurring. Mm-hmm. Who knows? But at least this was cleared up and in favor of Steve Kime, who I think he's a good guy. I met him one time. And I think
there's a lot of good guys and gals that do dumb things.
Sometimes you do stupid stuff.
Yeah, of course.
And that's what this will come down to.
I don't know.
He'll get a suspension. He deserves it.
Yep.
But it should be short.
We shall see. How about this? If I said Teak, and I know it's in front of you, so don't look. Hopefully you didn't read this before the show, although I think you might have. What do you think the premium PSLs are going to be at the new Raider Stadium in Vegas?
Let's see. When I did this, and I was stupid and I did it for the Giants, it was $50,000.
Ugh.
This was right after I retired, so 2007.
Mm-hmm.
$50,000. So I'm going to say, I haven't looked at it. It's Vegas. It's not a fan. I'm going to say.
But keep in mind, PSLs have been walked back in the years since. The Jets did away with
Vegas.
Some. No,
and,
I understand that.
And
but
dude, look at that thing. If they make it like this,
I hope, it looks like Darth Vader's like, yeah,
by the
something
way, BT,
Darth Vader should
if it's,
be.
If it's,
that thing
if,
is awesome.
If it's not exactly like this, I'm going to be disappointed.
Yeah, I hear you. That it better look like that, because we've been seeing that, you know, that sketch or that image of that visual for a long time. It better look like that.
I'm going to say 60.
Close, between 20 and 75,000 here.
75?
Between 20 and 75. So I'm assuming the 75 might be
the
nosebleed. The Las Vegas Review Journal reports.
$75,000.
I'm just reading that personal seat licenses for premium club tickets will cost between 20 and 75,000 a piece. Per the report, some 8,000 seats would fall into the premium category with price points of 20. 35 and 75,000 here.
Wow. So it's only a few. It's like for the high rollers.
Yeah, yeah,
like
exactly.
Like the super high rollers.
If you want to sit in the best seat in the house, it comes with a premium. Okay. And if you have the money to do
it, everything else you need when you're in the stadium. Gotta get you a drink, Mr. Tierney?
You know what? So sure, go get a double. But here's the thing. Nowadays, most stadiums, every seat's pretty good.
Yeah.
There's no obstruction. So you don't really need this unless you want to be seen or you want to be on front row in the 50. And if that's the case, you got the loot, do it.
Yep.
You know? You know what? We did this yesterday about Beckham looking good. So let me jump to this one here. So the new league. All right, this is interesting. Players in the Alliance of American Football. We have some details.
Yeah.
About player allocation, about a combine, about a draft, and also about salary expectations. Bill Polian said the league will give players 3-year, what a surprise, non-guaranteed contracts worth $250,000 a piece. Now, is that basically $80,000 a year? Or is that $250? I was a little confused with.
No, I think it's 80. It's 80.
So it's 80. It's basically 80 times 3.
$80,000 a year, which
roughly.
Is,
80.
Yeah, with times 3, 82, whatever.
It's not 250,000 times 3.
No. You don't get it up front. You get $80,000. It's a working
still
salary.
Part time, better than the G League and the NBA.
Agreed, and especially if you're right out of college.
Yeah,
you're still up in your average starting salary of your classmates if you choose to go into this league. And look, there's the opportunity if it turns into. A play into the NFL. It's a great way to spend a year in developing. The teams are also going to be regionally based. So if you're near if it's near your college, then that's where you'll go, or near your NFL team if you were on an NFL team and off of it. So that there's familiarity in the fan base, which I think is smart.
Wait, that's an obvious, but it's a smart business component. Because familiarity is a strong thing. Oh, yeah, I remember I used to watch so-and-so play at Boise State or wherever it might be. Yeah, let's go watch him play in this new league. The three combines next month in L.A., maybe LeBron's going to be there, Houston and Atlanta. Players actually chart for this, $175 a pop. And in case anybody forgot, the teams will be in the Alliance of American Football. We've got Atlanta, Birmingham, Memphis, Orlando, Phoenix, Salt Lake City, San Antonio, and San Diego. Steve Spurrier's coaching Orlando, Brad Childress Atlanta, and Mike Singletary Memphis. There you go.
That was Football at the 40 with Kiki and Tierney on CBS Sports Radio.
They don't have to pay for the combine now, do they?
No.
Not anything.
You just got to get an invite. But
that's kind of cheap, making them pay for the combine.
Well, I think they just want to weed out like a guy off the street.
What, $175? Some guy took $300 to rip up LeBron's mural.
Good point.
He's not going to find a way to get $175 to break the party.
He's going
to
be trying out next week.
Walgreens has good news for anyone managing diabetes. We've got your back. That's right. Walgreens pharmacists are here to consult with you in person and answer any questions you may have about new and existing medications. You can even get...
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.